beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Thank you for this opportunity. Today has been a hectic day. I thought, today I would just be able to run in earlier than now. But, to the glory of God, amen. To the glory of God. I was in a meeting where I was not told I was going to preach. They just told me this morning, they said you'll be preaching. And it was an open air thing. You can almost hear my voice cracking. I needed to preach myself out. Praise God. I had to quickly rush home just to take a nap. And then inside the vehicle here we are, come here this evening. But I know God is speaking. And he will speak to us again. In Jesus' name. Amen. The theme for this year's conference of this is our convention, amen, is wonderful. And it's wonderful because it's touching a very fundamental aspect of our faith. Amen. This theme this year is touching a very fundamental aspect of our faith. And over the years, we have done so many things, and particularly in recent years. We have done so many things. We have, preached so many things. We have expressed ourselves in different expressions and revelations that God has brought to us, via his servants here and there. For this one, we have not really explored. We have touched things. My mind can serve me right now. Even up to age to come, we have preached all kinds of things. But this one, we have not really explored. Meanwhile, this is one aspect that creates a grounding. If you know what I mean. It is important for you to know that the moment you have come into Christ, you have come into warfare. Hallelujah. You have come into warfare. So it is important for you to know that you don't need to ask Tani Moshe, who are you pursuing and who is pursuing you? The point is, you have come into a system that automatically pitches you against an enemy. I say something at home, and let me say it here. And some people think it's joke, but it's not joke. If you do not know the battle that existed between your father and his neighbor, why the fence in your compound had to go too high, you are likely going to marry from that compound when you grow up. Praise God. So it's good to ask questions. Daddy, why is our fence so high? Then your daddy will say, you see that man there? He's an idiot. Okay. When he starts like that, you understand some things happened before you were born. So people come into Christianity, people come into the faith without asking questions. Where are we coming from? What is this thing about? And then some other folks came to tell us that, oh, you don't worry. Just make sure you make heaven. And since you got born again now, some of you 1 year, some of you 5, some of you 10, some of you 20 years, Jesus hasn't come yet. And then it looks like, maybe they said that heaven is the hope or the goal. What are we still doing here? But you see, Inasmuch as you want to make that heaven, truth is, you don't want to die. Right? You don't want to die. And particularly many youths here, I remember the prayer some of us used to pray those days. They say, Jesus, don't come yet until I'm married. I know some of us will still be praying that prayer. Don't, when they say Jesus is coming, say, don't preach that message. He's not coming yet because you are not ready yet. But I said all this to let you know that you are in a warfare. Praise the Lord. Now, again, let me start like this. When you are in a war, when there is war, real war, I know many of us may have not seen war and may we not see. But we have watched films. Have we watched films? Okay. We have watched different films. Some of us, is that war film we like? I have a pastor friend. The best film is war film. Anything where he enjoys it. It gets him excited. But I know some of you, it's Indian film. When you hear Nehi, you are excited. But actually, I discovered that the kind of films you like reveals something about your soul. You understand? But that's not what we're talking about tonight. But I want you to know that if you have watched films before and you have seen warfare, it is only in a very rare circumstance and conditions that you have warfare engulfing a whole community and a whole people and life is seized. Follow me with this, my introduction. It will help you. Amen. Only in rare occasions and few occasions that you see war everywhere and then real life will cease. Meaning that when there is warfare, battle everywhere in most places, life is still going on. People will still be marrying. People will still be buying and selling. People will still go for their own businesses. In fact, life will continue. Meanwhile, there is war. Do you get it? And so, sometimes you will hear that, oh, they say the battle has gotten to Ore, for example. And then people from there start running towards Ondo and they start running towards Akure. Are you with me? And then after a while, it's like fire. If you have ever been to farm before, I have been to farm and I have farmed before. If you cut a whole piece of land and then you want to put it, burn the place so that you are able to go into planting season. Sometimes when you put the place on fire, it doesn't just burn except you add kerosene or add some other things. Is that not so? Sometimes you see the fire will go like that and then it takes a direction. It goes to the right and then go and then takes a direction and then like that until the whole thing douses before you come back and discover that there is a whole lot of portion that was not even touched by that fire that went so high. How many of you have seen that before? Okay, that is how it is when they say warfare. It may not be touching you very personally today, but tomorrow might be your own day. It may not be touching your community or environment today, but another day may be the time when the warfare will move to your own territory. So Jesus told his disciples one secret, and which is key. He said, if you are persecuted in Samaria or in a particular city, flee to the next city. If the battle move on to that place and then persecution come on there, move to the next city. He said, but you wouldn't have finished going round, that is Matthew chapter 24. You wouldn't have finished going round before the end will come. But in the midst of this battle, he said, you shall preach the message or the gospel of the kingdom of God. For a witness against those who will hear it, they may not be saved by it. But it will be a witness that they heard it. Hallelujah. Now, what led to that illustration? Jesus was moving by the temple one day, and then the disciples saw the temple very beautiful. And then they said to Jesus, "You see that temple? Isn't it beautiful?" And Jesus looked and said, "Which one?" He said, "That one." He said, "Wow, this temple is so beautiful." Meanwhile, while they were busy appreciating that temple, Jesus was provoked in the spirit. And then he began to tell them some things about that temple. He said, "Watch out very soon. This temple and everything in it shall soon come down." And it was like, wow, this temple that is so beautiful, what will make it come down? He said, "It's going to come down." But one thing he didn't tell them that he expected them to know was this, that as a temple was going to come down, another temple was going to be in building, was going to be rising. So give me your attention tonight. We are talking warfare of the kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus was saying something. When the natural system is going down, understand that almost immediately the spiritual system will be rising up. But because you cannot see the spiritual system, you cannot see that operation. It's not something that is meant for the natural eye to see. Then in John chapter 3, then he says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see that natural, that spiritual system." Except a man be born again, he cannot see that spiritual system. Except a man be born of water and then born of the spirit, he cannot enter that spiritual system. So what he called, what I'm called spiritual system here is the kingdom. Thank you for that. John chapter 3. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So when you hear kingdom, I do not want you to think that kingdom means the church. I do not want you to think that the church and the kingdom means the same thing. Because the kingdom existed before the church was born. The kingdom under the Old Testament was called the kingdom of God. The dominion of God. In fact, in 1 Chronicles, the thrones where kings sat, particularly David, was called the throne of God. So when you see that throne, it looks like a physical chair. You know, throne. But actually, God called that throne and referred to that throne as his own throne. So every king that sat on the throne was representing the interest of the owner of the throne. Do you understand this? And so, the throne has been existing. It's ancient. Before God began to bring it to the earth. And that throne represents the kingdom of God. So it's important for us to know that when God says, "My throne or my kingdom," he is not talking about the church. If it is not clear, you will not understand and appreciate the warfare and the technology of managing the warfare. So people become Christians thinking that you join church. You don't join church. You are born by the Spirit into God. And then God will now add you to the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I will come back to John 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Computer, you will help me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He said, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Everybody read this one with me, 3-5, go. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God does what? Calleth Jesus accursed. Can I hear you read? Go ahead, please. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Jump to verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, can we all read this together? 3-5, go. Have we all been baptized? Into one body. Whether we be what? Jews, or we be Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to do what? Drink into one Spirit. If you have not drunk into that Spirit, you are not part of His. Then Romans chapter 10, from verse 9. Romans chapter 10, from verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus. Yet, we read in 1 Corinthians that no man can confess. Did you remember that? Except by the Holy Ghost. You can't confess Jesus as your Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now verse 10. Together, 3-5, go, please. Computer, run now. It's like I'm preaching, you are interpreting Yoruba. You know, interpretation can be boring. That also happened to me this morning. I was preaching, somebody was interpreting. Oh boy. But we give thanks to God. Amen. Now, read this together, please. 3-5, go. Don't worry, I'm not boring you. I actually enjoy us reading together. There's a reason for that. Alright? There's a reason for that. When we read together, there's a way your gaze is arrested. Yeah, that's what I want to achieve. Praise God. Okay, verse 10, 3-5, go. Let's go. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and confession is made unto. So, when you believe in your heart, what do you believe unto? So, he says, when you believe, you are coming unto something. Now, I'm trying to show you here that the church is different from the kingdom. Amen. When you believe in your heart, you have come unto. You are believing unto. Everybody say, believing unto. Say it again, believing unto. It doesn't mean that because you have believed, you have become. Mm-mm. It's believing unto, meaning you have come on a path. Come on, somebody enter foot after study physics. Do you do physics there? Oh, thank you. Somebody enter foot after study physics. And at the end of 5 years, he's supposed to have maybe BSc. Am I right? B-Tech. So you say, from part one, you have gained admission onto B-Tech. Did you see that? Now you now find somebody who has just gained admission claiming that he has B-Tech. No, it's a compounded fool. Did you see that? So people read this scripture and say, believe unto righteousness. We are now the righteousness of God. Now, quickly you will see something, because I just want to see. If you can see, you will understand that the warfare we are even talking about, the warfare of the kingdom, a person can be in charge and yet is not in any warfare. Yeah. Praise God. Pastor Billy, you're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. Do you get the point I just made? Come on, say amen. Alright. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there is a process you have just come into. Amen. The man who has believed, the man who has believed has been translated. Colossians. He says, for we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Or from the power of darkness into the power of his dear son. Hallelujah. So when you believe, a translation starts. When you believe, a translation starts. You are being evacuated. If you have watched some kind of films where they have to keep some people in custody for weeks or months, and then maybe the person's home country is trying to do everything to get them come out. Of course, you know that cannot be Nigerian film. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You're welcome, sir. Praise the Lord. You find such things more in American films. Is that not true? Pastor Taya, you're welcome. Hallelujah. You find such things in American film. Why? Because the Americans value Americans. America value Americans. So you watch some of their films. Somebody's in danger. They do everything to get him out. What do you see in our film? I'm talking about real life. What's in our film? What do you see in Hollywood? They go to Babalawo and then when they want to represent religious stuff, somebody's trying to... Hallelujah. God will have mercy. So now we see all that, and all that gives us wrong mentality. If they tell you God is a good father and you grew up with your uncle, there will be distorted knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Your father was so bad that your uncle took you over. Now they are telling you God is good. Father. It will make immediate sense. Is that not so? But somebody who was raised in a hole where you understood what it means to say daddy. And it was not able to say daddy. Some of us were Baba. How many of you were from Baba family? We are the majority. The minority. Daddy. You know, driver will take you there, park, and you enter school. You come in the afternoon, I'll pick you. Daddy, I don't want the blue car, I want the red car. Okay. But for people like you, you know what I'm trying to say? We trek, the distance is like from here to Yemeko grammar school. And you must not miss assembly. Those categories, we didn't know daddy. We knew Baba. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. So, what I am trying to get your attention into is that when the enemy is holding somebody hostage, and now his home country, because they love him so much, wants to do everything to get him out of hostage, what happens to the country that holds him hostage? There is a battle. Is that not so? There's a warfare. There is fight. Sometimes the soldiers that came to, like those marine forces as it were, that came to rescue that only single individual may die just to rescue that single individual. Do you understand that? So now, ecclesia is the word for the church. Because we are the called out ones. Amen. This is the calling. We have been translated or delivered from the power of darkness. The word power of darkness is the same thing that reads kingdom of darkness. And then translated into what? The kingdom of his dear son. So darkness is on the chase. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So darkness has drawn the battle line. Because now he's saying, this one who had been my captive cannot go free. So at that point, the warfare has just started. So understand that the kingdom and the church are not the same thing. The church is the people who were bought with a price and brought out of darkness. But God brought out the church to come and learn the kingdom. You get it? So the syllabus for the church is the kingdom. So the church now needs to learn the kingdom to be able to stand against those who are coming against her. Because the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And strongholds have their holds in the minds. It says, casting down imagination and every high thing that wants to exalt itself. So there are things that are exalting themselves. So the enemy we are fighting is not using bazooka. It's not AK-47 rifle. Though we have escaped from his camp, but his camp, there are his properties that are still resident in us. That makes the battle more difficult. Israel was in Egypt. God told Abraham they would be there for 400 years. After 400 years, they didn't see God to deliver them. It was like, is God a liar? They didn't say that after 400 years we'll be out of this bondage. And after 400 years they were not out of that bondage until they cried to God. When they cried to God, God heard their cry. Meanwhile, all the while the Egyptians were maltreating them, creating burdens for them. Little did they know that it was God that the Egyptians were fighting. Hallelujah. They couldn't come to that point because they didn't know whose they were. Hallelujah. So it's important for you to know. And now, on that day, God told Moses, I am calling you to bring my people out of Egypt because I have heard the sound of their cry. He said, their cry has ascended up to me. Now is time to bring them out. It looked like, how can this be? In Egypt, the superpower of the day. Hallelujah. And then God cornered Moses behind the wilderness. Suddenly, Moses began to bargain with God. God, you know what? No, go there. Because if Pharaoh catch me, finish. Moses suddenly became a stammerer. Well, I don't want to say he made it up, but let me say that the Egyptian, according to what we know, we never raise a stammerer to be a Pharaoh. The man who should be Pharaoh must be the man who is mighty in speech and eloquent. And Moses was supposed to be the next Pharaoh. So where did he get? Reality suddenly dawned on Moses. Eh? I am going back there. I hope you know his poster was already all over town. Moses, wanted. Dead or alive. How are we going to do this? Now, Moses was there. God, you are asking me to go back. When Moses was still talking, God said, is Aaron your brother not there? I will bring Aaron. Since your tongue can no longer talk, we will bring Aaron your way. So Aaron was a ministry by accident. Aaron was accidental ministry, accidental calling. Are you with me? Listen to me. He was a circumstantial minister. No wonder he didn't know God. See, one day God took Moses, held him on the mount for 40 days. When they were not hearing Moses' voice, they went to the number two man, supposedly. Aaron, where is God? We can't find Moses. He said, wait, I will show you the God that brought you out. And Aaron collected their earrings, collected their necklaces, their anklets, their chains, their gold rings, and everything, and fashioned it into a molten calf. Where did Aaron get molten calf? Calf is the young child of a cow. That was the god of the Egyptians. So you see, Aaron was in ministry, but the god of the Egyptians was the tattoo in his soul. So when they say casting down imagination, I'm coming there. So you don't think that it's another imagination you are thinking, This is warfare. You must understand how the enemy strategizes and how this warfare is fought. Praise God. When Moses now agreed, okay, I will go. God took part of the spirit on Moses, placed it on Aaron. This is why Aaron will have to cleanse himself, perform all kinds of ritual, just to enter into the tabernacle. The same place Moses will stroll into and go back without cleansing. Don't forget, it was out of him they gave Aaron. Are you with me? But the point here is this. By the time Moses was going to go back to Egypt to face Pharaoh, it was a battle to finish. Two battles were going on in the warfare. You know, inside a warfare, there could be different battles. There are different feats of battles in a warfare. If you win one, and you are not careful about the other side, you may start losing the ground you have won from the other ground that you have not mastered. Do you think you are getting this? Because it's a kingdom affair, not church affair. Say with me, it's a kingdom affair. It's not church affair. Today, can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever seen God come down to settle quarrel between churches? Oh, we must wear scarf. Oh, we must not wear scarf. And God said, listen, Michael, let's go and meet them. Listen, all of you, wear scarf. Don't wear scarf. Think about anything going on in church that are very, very controversial. Have you ever seen God at any time, even sending Jesus? Go about that sort of one. Let's get it. No, tell me if you have. It doesn't come like that. Why? Because the things that are highly exalted among men are actually abomination in the sight of God. When we don't understand his things, then we will run after other things that do not matter. Hallelujah. And so God now told Moses, you will go in there, you will bring them out. So Moses went in there to bring them out. Little did he know that the people he was bringing out were coming out with all their idols. They all came out of Egypt. Miriam took a tambourine, composed a song. Hallelujah. He has parted a way even in the Red Sea. What a mighty God we serve. His name shall be praised forever. Moses himself started singing. They all sang songs and blessed the name of Yahweh. Little did they know that with all their praise and worship, idols was inside all of them. Hallelujah. Idols was inside all of them. Now, Pharaoh and his armies perished in the Red Sea. It sounded like victory, sir. But that was not the victory. That was not the victory. That old generation that saw Pharaoh and his armies drowned in the Red Sea, that whole generation, only two made it to the promised land. Meaning, though Pharaoh and his army died in the Red Sea, the seeds that Pharaoh sowed in those people finally destroyed them before they arrived. So it's 50-50, no cheating. When I saw this thing, the warfare of the kingdom, my heart started going here and there. At first, I was asking, what is it? When I started getting a clue of what God was saying in this season, fear started coming to my heart again. This is not a theme to make us rejoice. This is a theme to get us ready. To even open you up, to let you know that there is a fight going on somewhere. It may have not reached your domain. It has started. Hallelujah. So this theme is not a theme that will get you excited. It's a theme that should get you consecrated. It's a theme that will make you close shop and then face God. What is it, God? It's a theme that will make you come back and say, oh God, where am I standing? So that this battle will not take me off unawares. Can I hear amen? Amen. And so, by the time God brought them out of Egypt, it was like, aha, thank God, Red Sea is behind them now. The promised land is ahead of them now. Beautiful. But you know what? God had to test them. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. God brought them to that place. To now want to prove them. So when you hear warfare, sometimes most of these battles you see that we refer to as warfare in the kingdom are orchestrated by God. I pray I'm able to touch everything that God brought to my heart. Orchestrated by God. When Paul and Barnabas strove with each other, it looked like, why will two apostles be fighting? Right? But God was behind it. Paul wouldn't have fulfilled his calling and ministry if Barnabas had always been there or was there as a spiritual father over Paul. I will get into some waters, but I pray you won't stone me, but understanding will come. Say amen. Amen. Who put Israel in bondage in Egypt?
God. Who told Moses, go and set them free? God. Who told Pharaoh, when Moses comes, don't listen to him? God. I'm not joking. When you see him, ask him. Moses, you are going back there. Tell him, let my people go. Pharaoh, when he comes, you tell the idiots, bullshit. You go to hell. Who is that your God? But there was a king who rules in the affairs of men. Can I hear hallelujah to his name? So when you don't understand, you pitch tents to fight battles you don't understand. By the time they came out, are you dead? Come on, let's read. Oh God, let's run. He said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Read on. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. So do what, sir? You would have thought to lead you and you. He said, I am leading you to humble you and to prove thee. God cannot bless you if he has not proved you. He will have to prove you. He said, but he knows I love him. We will test that love. And one way God tests the love is by opening you up for battle. One day, God told me, this was some years ago. He said, when I judge what you perceive, who you perceive as enemy, don't rejoice. If you are rejoicing, I'm also judging your heart. I was afraid. I was in some mess that time. He said, I want to deal with these people. I want to see whether you will be happy when I'm dealing with them. If you are happy, then this heart is not good for me to use. I said, but you should understand, that's not me. Understand why they call David a man after God's own heart. How can somebody bring a news? I caught your enemy. Listen, your enemy has finished himself. My enemy? Who do you call my enemy? And the man used his mouth to finish himself. David said, take him. He must not escape. He has touched the anointed man of God. Unprovoked. The man said, but I'm fighting for you. Did I send you? Hallelujah. So understand this. He said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years to in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was where. What was what? In thine heart. This is where kingdom is established. When God brought us up and out of Egypt, our own Egypt, the next oppression was to bring the kingdom and put it in our heart. But God couldn't just bring the kingdom and put it in our heart, because there were things already occupying our heart. Do you get this? Things are already occupied. I mean, our hearts are already occupied by things. God is bringing his kingdom. That was what he said in the book of Luke. He said, if anyone is telling you the kingdom is there, it's there or there, he said, don't believe them. For the kingdom is not by observation. But the kingdom is where? It's in your heart. For God putting the kingdom in your heart is saying to you, there must be a warfare. That kingdom coming into your heart has to fight with every other kingdom that held your heart. You see? Because Romans chapter 6 tells you, whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, the servant of whom you are, it doesn't matter your title. It's a matter of yieldedness. What do you yield to? When Scripture tells you that sin shall not have dominion over you, it's telling you that sin is a king. It's beyond fornication. That thing that moves you and you are no longer in control is kingdom. That's why Jesus taught us this prayer. He said, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. The kingdom is that system that finds expression through power and glory. Everywhere you see kingdom, these are the two ways by which you know kingdom is there. Power, God is able to kill and make alive, is a king. Then when it shows up, you see his glory, his majesty. Then you know this is also a king. So now God is saying to you, there are things already ruling in your soul. There are Egyptian properties that are in your heart. And it does not stop you from being a child of God. Neither does it stop you from being a minister. Yeah. When God wants to help a man, he will reveal the evil in his heart when he's still a youth. Lamentation chapter 3. He said, let me bear my body in the days of my youth. It is when God loves you, he will show you the state of your heart when you are not yet popular. But if not, he will wait until you climb up. You know, the higher you climb, the more people are no longer seeing you like this. Rather, they see you like this. You don't understand? There's a level you get to. People can no longer relate to you like this. They relate to you like this. From there, God can easily expose your underskirt. See that? When they were still relating with you like this, nobody could see your underskirt because you were small, you were low. Kingdom is for children. May our hearts forever be childlike. When your heart is childlike, that is a heart that can handle kingdom, then they will not have opportunity of exposing your nakedness. But when you think you are big, he told Israel, when you were small in your own eyes, did I not use you? God telling Israel, that time in your own estimation, when it was where two or three are gathered, were you not calling me even on offering? Now, you no longer call me for offering. Because you have three of your sons all over the world can handle the convention. Three. You no longer pray again. No, it's a money. It is how to spend it. And we do not understand that all these oppressions are issues of the heart. That God is watching. That God is watching. That God is watching. He wants to see, if I add 1 more million to you, will you develop wings? All these are fibers in your heart. At this point, it is still latent. If God does not help you to break down these things in your heart and break them at the stage of their embryo, when they are formed, even God himself will resist you. But when you hear warfare, it's not only against the devil. God fights against his people. God fights against his people. So when you are thinking enemy, all enemy, he said the enemy of a man are members of his own household. So this is the prayer. Now God will help the church to understand kingdom principles and to be able to accept the kingdom of God and then begin to live the life of the kingdom. Then every warfare that comes, you will now be supplied with resources that are not carnal. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not material, are not physical, are not tangible, but they are spiritual. It is God that supplies weapons on the day of battle. It is not an exam you prepared for. You hear me? No. Look at David. When his heart was growing gross, little did he know that another kingdom had taken him over. You know the story of Uriah? How he set that man up, took his wife. And then, what that prophet? Is it Nathan or something? Came to him and said, sir, there's a parable. You know, prophets can speak parables sometimes. And the prophet began to speak parable. Let me use my own words. There is a man who had goats, maybe 7 goats. And then a number of his had only one. And then his friend came all the way from Dubai, you know. And then the man that had 7 goats went to the house of his friend that had only one. And then took it. He had 7, but he took his friend's own, slaughtered it, and then used it to feed his friend, his visitor, all the way from Dubai. And then the prophet said, what should happen to that man? David didn't even let him land. Stay away with such a man from the earth. What evil. Such a man should not live. You know he's a king. I wish I could see him and tear him to pieces. He shouldn't live. And the Nathan stepped backward. The prophet stepped backward. Thus saith the Lord, thou art the man, O king. Did I take one person's property? See? God will always prove your heart. Because the kingdom is not by observation. Therefore, the fight and the warfare of kingdom is not also by observation. It is clearly a spiritual warfare. But you see what? The day the warfare will come to your place, you may not be prepared. This is why you have to keep a good heart. In the book of Ephesians, 2nd or 1st Chronicles, this chapter 18 or 19, he said, Amaziah did what was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. A king did what was right. So it's not so much as the physical things you are doing, people can applaud you. He said, but not with a perfect heart. Because idols can also motivate actions. Idols in the heart can motivate actions. God from heaven can motivate actions. So you see, God is saying to us here tonight, now you know that kingdom is not physical thing. Now you know that the kingdom of God is not by observation. God is saying we have to go back to what he did to the children of Israel. What is it? I will begin to round it up from there. As Israel came out, he brought them several tests. Several tests. According to Deuteronomy chapter 8, to prove what was in their heart. Whether they will follow God or not. Somebody would have thought, sir, that why would they follow God? Maybe they have crossed Red Sea. But there is Jordan to still cross. Red Sea is being born again. Jordan is crucifixion of the flesh. So between the point when you are born again to when flesh finally gives way, you could lose the kingdom. I told you earlier that kingdom is not heaven. You can make it to heaven. In fact, the thief on the cross didn't have time for the autopsies. He said, today. You know, the man was ranting, the other guy. Look at you. Maybe they call you son of God. You can't even save yourself and save us. Nonsense. Am I not talking to you? My friend, do something. Well, you know the one they were talking about at Oyemeku Road, that you can perform this and turn water to wine. The other man now replied him, why are you talking to him like that? We are suffering because of our sin. This man is a righteous man. He did no wrong. Sir, remember me. Listen, are you seeing? Are you getting the point? He said, sir, don't mind that guy. Right from his mother's womb, he has been like that. But remember me when you get into your kingdom. When he said that, Jesus looked at him. Come! Who told you that my kingdom is about to start? Then he looked at him. Today, you shall be with me. If you ever watched that film, Passion of the Christ, I like Mel Gibson. Or see the way the hawk came and removed the eyeballs of the other guy because his mouth was running foul. How dare you talk to the Son of God anyhow? But little did they know that Jesus actually came for a kingdom. Hallelujah. But his kingdom is not a physical kingdom. His kingdom is to start from the heart, such that if he can conquer your pride, if he can conquer your lusts, if he can conquer all the wrong things in your heart, then he can conquer your environment. You see, this is how why Jesus' kingdom is different from other kingdoms. His own starts from the heart. He has come to deal with issues of the heart, bitterness and all kinds of wickedness that a man can harbor and grow until he becomes a bishop. In fact, archbishop. And Jesus is looking at the heart. Every time he's watching, what is in that heart? What is in that heart? And it is my prayer that as they search our hearts, may they not find us wanting. And everything we brought out of our own Egypt, may God cleanse them by his blood. So I have said to you, in rounding up, thank you, that you have to understand the reason for the kingdom. You need to know the reason for the kingdom. Otherwise, you will not understand why the warfare. You will not understand why the striving. Because it is the spirit and the flesh that we first strive. God has come to empower you in your spirit so you can overcome your brother who is the flesh. Can I hear amen? Amen. This is how the warfare begins. It starts from inside. To deal with things that could stop you from your final entrance. So, understand that the church is a people, but the kingdom is a system. The church is a people. The kingdom is a system. It's a system of dominion. It's a system of governance. It's a system that says God is in charge. This is why they say, not those who don't wear slippers are sons of God, but those who are led. What is leading? God holding you, keeping you away from where flesh is driving you. That's leading. You want to go this way, flesh says go. Holy Spirit is saying you are not going anywhere. By that, they say you are son of God. Because you can respond. So it's not whether you wear clothes or you wear whatever you wear. Those are not the issues. The issue is your heart. That is where he has come to plant the kingdom. That is where the very first warfare for the believer in the New Testament is in his heart. You can be fighting and your brother close to you is calm. He doesn't know what is going on. The battle can be hot in your neighborhood and yet your brother doesn't know what is going on with you. That is how God planned it. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. God will test you with test. He will test you with thirst. He will test you with hunger. He will test you with all kinds of things just to see the kind of heart you have. Because if the kingdom cannot find expression in that heart, God is not sure that you will allow him to find expression in your environment. So he dealt with Israel. When God was dealing with Israel, did it not look like it was the Philistines? When the Moabites came, didn't look like the enemy was strong. But are you aware that Moabite was their brother? Moabite was the brother of Israel. The son of Lot. You see, all the enemies that came up around them, they all had the same source somewhere. See, when they were Jacob and Esau were in the womb, right? You see that striving in the womb? Those were two kingdoms. You see that? Two kingdoms. Who should reign? Who should gain the upper hand? That is how it is with you today. You are sitting, you are confused. You want to do something. I like that girl. I'm marrying next week. Pastor says, no. Let's allow the Holy Spirit. He says, no. He has told me before I came to this church that it is next week. You see, battle. The real battle is not you and devil. The real battle is the kingdom of God and flesh, which is another kingdom. So very many times, all of us are open to that other, that this kind of battles. Where a brother can fall, a pastor can fall. On the altar of flesh. On the altar of flesh, there is no Superman. I thought in my flesh that now God is saving me. He should take the flesh completely away. He said, no, let both seeds grow together till the last day. He has beaten your flesh and beaten it to your body and planted his Holy Spirit, which is the representative of the kingdom in your heart. Right? So that from inside your heart, the battle continues. From your spirit, they move into your soul. From your soul, they are coming to your body. Don't forget, as the Holy Spirit is fighting from inside, so also the enemy is fighting from your flesh to hold your soul. From your soul, he wants to conquer your spirit. So there is a battle going on. Every day we go through this warfare. It is not a church warfare. It's a kingdom warfare. Who rules? Who reigns? Who has the dominion? Who has the final say? Who is the one that should have the final say? You will not even know that the enemy who is fighting wants to plant his name. Because when kingdoms conquer territories, they put their name. They put their image. They raise their flag and say, this is my domain. Let nobody come around here. Is that not so? And then after they have taken over, quickly, they start culturing that territory. Is that not so? Teach them language. Teach them dressing. Teach them the values. Teach them all kinds of things. So that at the end of the day, the Queen of England is far away in England. Yet, our culture is practiced far into Igboko, that community. That is kingdom. The devil doesn't need to stay around you. Like Pharaoh didn't need to follow them to cross the Red Sea. But the things he has planted in them, he was too sure that this thing I have planted in them for 430 years, for 30 years, nothing can remove it from them. So they came out of Egypt, they were happy. God was smart. I will put another water. That other water is called Jordan. Jordan is the place of death. That is the place where you die to your flesh. If you cannot die there, entrance will not be ministered to you into the kingdom. But I pray that we will overcome. I pray, it doesn't matter what you are going through, that help will visit you. Can we rise up to our feet? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord. You may not know when God is proving your heart. Can you pray to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I like David. God gave David three options when David sinned. David got to the point and he concluded, I know God. It's better for me to fall into the hands of God than to fall into the hands of my enemy. May we love God. May our hearts be like that of a child. May the kingdom of God find expression in our hearts. Thank you, Father. We trust you. And everything we imported from Egypt, you will remove. You will remove. Let the blood of Jesus find a place right now, so that the enemy, the devil, will not take advantage of those things locked up in us. Help us. Help us. Thank you, Father.
Beloved, the Father of Lights is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
You've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.